This is that other sports shit. Let's go.
One, two, one, two.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
There we go. I had you on blue. I had my phone on Bluetooth, and so I couldn't hear you.
Okay.
But I can hear you now.
Are you in the car?
I am.
I can hear you. Are you driving somewhere?
Yeah, I totally mismanaged. I was supposed to pick up my kid at 3:25 from school.
Yes.
But then he texts me and says, "Hey, Dad, don't forget I have like fucking art class or whatever after school."
Yeah, something's up.
So now I'm like driving towards his school to go get him instead of being done and over with. You know what I mean? Like,
so is he going to be on the? Is he going to be part of the show? Is he going to be kicking around the show?
Nah, he'll probably just listen to his headphones.
Oh, okay. We're hoping. All right, this is going to be fun then. Should we go 3-2-1 and then go? What are you thinking?
Yeah, let's just do 3-2-1 and get the show on the road.
All right, you warming? There's not a ton of MMA stuff to do, so I think we're good there.
Yeah, not a lot of MMA stuff.
Let's just go 3-2-1 and warm it up.
Yeah, let's do it. 3-2-1. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. It is not a Wednesday night show. It's a Monday night show. I don't even know if we've ever done a Monday night show. Probably.
Yeah.
I am currently driving in my vehicle. Hands-free. Okay. Hands-free.
Legal.
Got to be safe on the road, folks. Got to be safe on the road. Watch out for other drivers. Watch out for pedestrians. And yes, even those pesky-ass bicyclists. You got to watch out for them, too. Hands-free on the road.
Powers. Is right? A bicyclist. Is a bike guy.
Yeah. He doesn't want me driving behind him. I know he doesn't.
Mm-mm. I'll flip you right off.
Chris, I would not hit you, buddy. I love you.
Don't hit anybody.
quick shout out. Belated happy birthday to our boy, Shay Rollins.
Yes. We love you.
Who turned a glorious 32 years of age old on this planet yesterday. Shay, we love you. You know that we do.
Yes.
This shout out's for you, buddy.
You're older than ever. You're fatter than ever. You're happier than ever. You're daddier than ever, if that's the right word. You're more dad than ever.
I'll accept it. Daddier. I like it.
He's doing big things, and we're proud of him. He's grown from a young man into a grown man. I'm just proud of him. He doesn't post his butt cheeks like he used to on the internet, so I know he's matured.
I feel like he should at least throw one butt cheek tweet out, like, a year.
Biannually, if anything else.
Exactly. At least biannually. At least. Shay, we need some more butt cheeks, okay?
I mean, just some birthday butt cheeks. He had the one photo. It was, like, artistic. Where I don't know if he was peeing against a wall, like Calvin. Or if someone just caught him with his pants down below his butt cheeks. But it's a fantastic photo. And he's younger in this photo. He's just vibrant. He's so full of life.
He's got
a younger Shay. It's like when you look at the it's like when you look at the young albums of the Beatles before they got into the real heavy duty shit. It's like the Help Beatles, you know, not the Let It Be Beatles, but the Help Beatles, the Can't Find Me Love Beatles.
Not the acid tripping Beatles.
Yeah, not Yellow Submarine Beatles. That's where he's at. He's at the Yellow Submarine Beatles phase now. He's just trying to figure out what's going on. He's exploring his body. It's a lot. It's really wild what's going on. Jess, at what point are you going to heavily edit your son getting into the car and you having a conversation with him? Because I'm assuming that's going to come while we're taping this.
Oh, yes, yes. It is going to be over tape. You're going to hear me say, you know,
good to see you, son.
Hey, buddy,
how
boy,
was your day?
Love you. How was your day? All that stuff will be edited out.
But if you don't say it, I'm going to be disappointed.
He says, I love you back. Because
I don't know that.
Sympathy points that way. Somebody listens. Yeah. Says, oh, look, he loves his kid. I'm going to listen to his podcast a little bit longer.
Does he do an autopilot? He does an autopilot. Yeah, I love you, Dad.
It's oh, hell yeah, he does. He's
just
14.
Return,
yeah,
sir.
Everything
yeah,
he does.
I love you, Dad. Yeah, I love you. You know, Dad, for, thanks.
That's what we should. I feel like that other sports show is all encompassing, not just sports, but we do life as well, guys. We're dads. Sad. You know, we've got women, we've got things, jobs, cars. You know, I want to know how many people who listen have kids, first of all, and how many kids are straight autopilot kids right now? Because mine are.
I would guess, and I always say this, Jess, I'm a firm reference of this. I would say half of our listeners, maybe that's a high number, are people that have listened to the show at some point in the last 8 or 9 years and either listen frequently, infrequently, you know, the big day ones or shit like that. I think that's what we get. And then we'll just get a mix of people that are just clicking because we're just constantly retweeting this bitch. We're just constantly posting it. I post this bitch a lot on my Snapchat. So shout out to the smokers that follow this on the Snapchat, because I just post it in a big smokers Snapchat story all the time. So shout out to y'all if y'all are listening. We appreciate your listening. But I'd say 2 out of 10. Now, maybe I'd say parents. I don't know. Half? Maybe less than half? We got to get a lot of people over 30 listening to the show. I don't think we get a lot of younger listeners.
We got a lot of the plus 30 for sure.
Yeah, I don't think we're not, you know, we're the AEW / WWE. We're the 18 to 49. We're the key demographic, if you will. Right? We pull those numbers. We've been known to pull those numbers. I don't think we pull the, but I think we get some 49 and overs, you know, just who it is what it is. And we welcome you and thank you for listening as well.
All of you, single, not single,
parents, adopting.
If you adopt, much love out to those who adopt. I think that's super cool.
I did an internship at a Department of Children and Family Services at one point, and it was one of the most difficult internships I did, when you have to call a list of orphanages and ask them if they have room to add random kids that have been added to your list. That was fucking brutal. Combat sports, Jess, should we seamlessly transition into it? If you listen to the show for combat sports, we are going to fail you this week, because not only have we missed the last 2 weeks, we missed Fury versus Wilder. There was another big fight in there, I think. There was an incredibly mid UFC card that MMA Twitter piled all over. So we've missed some combat sports.
Last night's card was mid. Mid. Oh,
Corey Anderson, I believe, is beating guys up in Bellator and talking shit on Twitter. So that's getting some waves. But there's not a ton of stuff that is really making me and Jesse go, we got to talk about that. Other than Costa versus Vettori, which we absolutely love this fight. And as I try and pull this card up, thank you and shout out to ESPN Plus for putting this one on. I'm glad this is a free one, because I don't think this is one they should be charging for. How the fuck do I get to MMA on this page? All right.
90%. While Jay's doing that, I'm going to say like 90% of these cards a year should not be paid for. Just saying.
I just read the headline on ESPN's MMA page. Chuck Liddell will not be charged for the domestic violence stuff that he got arrested for. Hey, MMA Twitter, everybody that was tweeting, keep that same energy that you had for John Jones, that have that for Chuck Liddell. You should probably delete those tweets, guys. Just go ahead. Scroll back about 7 to 10 days, because the internet loves to keep those receipts. And since you want to keep that same energy, let's go ahead and crank that energy down a little bit. Because Chuck Liddell, you know, hey, listen, shit happens. By the way, Fedor's fighting the same morning. This is weird. Fedor's fighting that morning against, I think it's Tim Johnson. Tim Johnson, I believe, is the obligatory Bellator jobber. He is the All-Star Overeem. He is the guy they bring in to do the job.
He's the Brooklyn Brawler.
He is of Bellator. He is the Brooklyn Brawler. He is the Kevin Owens of the Bellator. He's going to make you look good.
That's sad. We have to add Kevin Owens to that list. I love Kevin Owens.
That's me hot taking right there. I'm KO. Sorry. Kevin Owens is awesome. Shout out to KO. And there's our wrestling reference if we didn't get at least one in yet in this 10 minutes that we've been recording. Fedor versus Timothy Johnson. Is this a retirement type fight because it's in Moscow, Jess? What's going on here?
I highly doubt it. Last I read, Fedor was talking about how he feels that he can still compete at the highest levels of the heavyweight division. And he kind of wanted this fight in Russia just to be in I don't think that he's fought overseas in quite some time, to be honest.
Been a while.
I think that he just wants that energy, that hometown vibe.
It's been a while, and he deserves a fight in Russia. So when I see a fight in Russia, my assumption is, well, maybe this is a retirement fight. For our listeners, I just started drinking this cannabis quencher. So if I start fading fast during the football portion of this, you know why. I've never drank this. This is tasty. I'm going to put this further away from me because I got to be careful with that. That's one of those things. If it tastes good, it's going to fuck me up quickly. Hey, Jess, Paulo Costa versus Martin Vittori. This is a fun fight. Who you got?
Yeah, it should be. I mean, according to the rest of their fights, both these guys like to bang. So,
That's bang, bro.
I just saw, again, I'm going to another reference to Twitter real quick. I just saw it's been like 20 years or something like that, 25 years since the Just Bleed guy.
Ooh, his anniversary.
The famous meme, the most famous of all MMA memes.
They track all these fuckers down now. They track them all down. You did something on the internet or you did something on television 10, 15, 20 years ago. It's got an anniversary. Jeff Jarrett's anniversary of going to WCW is today as well. Today in 1999, showed up and hit Buff Bagwell with the guitar, the Slapnuts guitar.
Loved Buff Bagwell too. I don't know why. I just always had a soft spot for Buff.
Buff the stuff. That might have been, I believe, the last true WWE to WCW jump before shit really started to hit the fan. That was 99. Today,
wow.
1999. This is a weird stylistic fight, Jess, because I think Costa hits really, really hard, but I think for the most part, he's also a counterpuncher. I think Marvin's going to take chances in this fight. So for some reason, I just lean Marvin, but I don't know. It feels more pick'em to me. I don't know if I'm trying to convince myself, but give me some thoughts on this fight, Justin. Again, who you got? Vittori, Costa, who you got?
I like Vittori. I think that we've seen enough of Paulo Costa to know that he is just what he is. I mean, he's just a brawler, stylistic fighter. He's going to go out there and try to throw big, big shots. Generally gets winded, midway through his fights.
Again, I think he's more of a counterpuncher, Jess. He's going to do a lot of that counterpunching. That's what he's
going to do. Yeah, and Vittori, if Vittori sticks to recent game plans, he should win by decision. I don't know if Vittori necessarily has the knockout skills. I don't have his record in front of me, so I'm not sure how many
he's got. KOs. He's got good pop in his gloves. Jeff.
Okay, so good pop in his glove against a counter fighter, a guy who's Costa will also take risks, which can be good. I mean, he's taken risks before and laid guys out. He's taken risks before and gotten beat the fuck up. I think Vittori sticks to a non-aggressive game plan. Myself, a lot of leg kicks. I think that we're going to see pop when he can get to it. And at the end of the day, I'm going to take Marvin Vittori at a UD.
They've got Vittori down, but his fighting style is a jiu-jitsu guy. But when I look at his Holland fight, his Hermanson fight, the Roberson fight, when I'm looking at them now and reminiscing about them, if you will, they seem to me like he was using a lot of stand-up, a lot of good straight punches, kicks.
Kickboxing.
Yeah, exactly, kickboxing. And if you look back at his Stylebender fight, his fight against Stylebender, I mean, there came a point where Stylebender figured him out. It was somewhere in the second or third round. And then, of course, he did what he did. You know, Izzy did the Styles Make Fights thing, and he just kind of started to embarrass him with it. But with that said, if Vittori's going to do, and I like to say this every once in a while, bull versus matador, and he's playing the bull and Costa's playing the matador, can Costa matador for five rounds? That's the true question here. successfully. And again, I'm going to say it again. I think Costa is a good counter striker, but he hasn't fought in over a year. I know he had the injury there. He's had kind of a weird last 12 to 18 months. He's been responding to MMA Twitter to me, which is still really weird when fighters do that. But I mean, you know, fighters are different than other athletes. So I got to always try and keep that in mind.
A lot different.
His last fight, September 2020. That was, geez, a year ago.
Wow.
I'm torn on this fight, Jess. I'm stalling on it because I really don't want to put, you know, I don't want to put my name on it. But I'm going to go Marvin here. And I'm going to go Marvin decision. I think it does go all five rounds. I don't think he gets him out of there. And I think Costa sticks around. And I think we're going to have some boring lull moments in this fight, where Costa just isn't firing and Vettori just is kind of trying to do the chess box, figure out what are my best angles to come in here with my feints and shit like that.
I like it. I think Vettori plays a safe non-aggressive, but not too aggressive game plan. And if he can do that and he can stay out of Costa's range and not fall prey to that counter striking type of fight, I think the Vettori should win by points pretty easily, to be honest.
Do you? So I want to be honest. It's a good story, Jess. I would like to get some of your thoughts on Wilder versus Fury. To just seamlessly transition off of the UFC stuff, because you got our winners this week. I guess, let me say this as well. That card is fun. There's a lot of fun cards on that fight. And if we really wanted to, we could focus on them all, but we're trying to keep it moving today. We got a quick show. We're trying to do a quicker show. Jess is on the road, for crying out loud. It's got to pay attention to the roads. I missed the Fury versus Wilder fight. I watched probably 50 to 60% of it live on my phone while I was at a WWE event. So me paying attention to the actual fight was difficult because I had Becky Lynch and Bianca Belair
Woo.
Having a kick-ass match right in front of me. So I'll be
Fantastic
honest.
Match.
Yeah, right in front of me too. It was a great match. So it was, you know, it's just like, okay, how do I, you know, watch this fight when I've got this in front of me? But there was a moment late in the fight where we had in front of us just probably 7 or 8 kids. And to the absolute left of us, where our row was, we ate up the right, me and my boy, but far left, just kids. And then behind us, it was 50-50 kids sprinkled in with, like, just some adults. Towards the end of this fight, I had one of these, like, the group of kids' mom watching the fight over my shoulder and, like, apologetic about it. Like, hey, I'm sorry. I kind of don't care about wrestling and I'm just watching the fight on your phone. And I'm like, no, it's cool. Go ahead. Enjoy the fight. I mean, I'm kind of paying attention to both. I got home. I tried to watch a fight. It was way too late. I tried to find some illegal stream. It was like in some weird language I couldn't understand. It was late. I had to go to bed. So I honestly have not been able to watch this fight. And I'd like to watch it to be able to give a real breakdown on it. Because based off of everything I've heard, some of the people that I talked to, whose opinions that I trust, they say, hey, this is an incredible fight. With that said, Jess, give me a few, just, you know, some scratch the surface thoughts on this fight.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched less than 60%. I mean, I've seen all the major highlights. So
the knockdowns, if you will.
Give me 15% of that fight right there. So it's weird, man. I love when the fat guy wins fights. I would like to think that everybody does, right? Like, who doesn't want to see, you know, the nerdy kid go in there and beat up the jock or the fat guy beat up the muscle head? Like, it's easy to root for
the fat guy.
And Tyson Fury is like the ultimate Uncle Fester looking motherfucker. Like, he, you know, he's got weird ass uncle written all over him. You know, he's the guy that pulls the weird, crazy, semi-cruel pranks on, like, you know, his nieces and nephews. And somehow, over the last decade, this guy has truly, at least to me, cemented his legacy as the greatest heavyweight on the planet this past decade.
It's difficult to argue that, which makes it unique, right?
I honestly can't tell you. Like, we've had all of these guys, the Anthony Joshuas, we've had the Wilders, all these young cats come up. And everybody's like, that's the next guy. That's the next guy. Well, we just seen Anthony Joshua get his ass kicked
by cruiserweight. By cruiserweight.
Who's basically, yeah, a cruiserweight who's not fighting in his own weight class and completely outclassed what I think should be the greatest heavyweight on the planet, Anthony Joshua. Like, the guy's tools and everything are phenomenal. He there's that mental breakdown or whatever it may be. Anyway, back to Tyson. Tyson Fury, his record, the things that he's done, the things he's overcome. I'm saying right now, greatest heavyweight of this decade, and I don't even think that there's anyone close to second to him. I think that there's possibles, there's maybes, but there's not a Tyson Fury. This fight cemented that 1,000%. If anybody doubted Fury's skills, if anybody doubted the heart that he has for actually going into a ring and boxing with another full-grown man, I think all that was erased that night. And I don't think that there's anybody that can even argue me otherwise, because he went in there and put on a display of hand speed, footwork, head movement. If you can say that, you know, every fighter, I think, goes in and says, you know, when they're on the winning podium, they say, yeah, I put together 100%. That was 100% fight right there. Tyson Fury could have been 100% fight right there. Mm-hmm. Everything he had, he laid out. And then he eventually put down the beast, Deontay Wilder. And I love it, man. I'm all for it.
To go opposite side of the coin here, I think Wilder, and we're getting a lot of this, so I don't want to spend, you know, I don't want to do the same thing every other podcast is doing. But Wilder does deserve the real pat on the back here, because
100%.
At this fight, he showed his toughness, his mental toughness, his physical toughness. He didn't have a meltdown, or he stayed within his game plan from what I saw, from what I was able to watch. He threw the big straight right hand, and he hurt Tyson with it. That is one thing I saw, and I wish I could remember the round. It was the fourth or fifth round, maybe. But he hit Tyson with that straight right hand, and he came back and hit him with him again. It wasn't as hard, but the first one was so hard. And people have been replaying it. They've super clipped it and put it on the internet. And I even retweeted it and said, the fact that this dude can take this punch, and everybody says, boxing historians have come on and said, Deontay Wilder's right hand is just as heavy as the left hook that Joe Frazier threw. It's just as heavy as the right hand that Marciano threw, you know, his right hook. There's all these comparisons in regards to that punch. And for Tyson to basically take it, get up again like he did the first fight, and continue to box and have the cognitive ability to go, I'm still going to beat this guy's ass. I'm still going to follow my game plan. I'm not going to get myself into a dumb war where I get caught like that again. I'm going to box a little smarter because this is still boxing. To me, credit to Tyson. But Wilder's, the balls that he showed, if you will, just absolutely incredible. And it's funny how after that fight, so many of us boxing fans go, well, fuck, now I want to see Wilder fight AJ. Because previously, you know, a year ago, if you would have gave me that fight, I would have said, oh, man, AJ smokes him. He's just a better boxer. Today, I think now we all go, I don't know. That's a fight I'd rather see rather than just say, no, I know definitively that Wilder would lose to AJ. Now I think we go, I don't know. I think that's a little bit more of a competitive fight now. So credit to Wilder, credit to Fury. Shout out to Fury, who I heard is donating a significant, if not all of his purse to homelessness and helping people out, charitable, he's a true man of God, which as you mentioned, Jess is kind of a weird cat. And sometimes when you meet men of God, they're kind of just weird cats because they don't care.
A little bit.
Yeah, so and I'm good with that. So shout out to him, and I hope we do see him fight Usyk. I don't know what happens next. We'll see. But I'm looking forward to it. Let's hop over to the NFL, Jess, because your Buffalo Bills will be kicking off here pretty soon.
Yes, we have sir.
A slate full of games. Jess, I sent you a message earlier today that said these games are going to quickly eliminate. We're not going to spend a ton of time on them. This is not a game that I mentioned, and I don't want to spend a ton of time on it, although I do have thoughts. We're going to start with the Thursday night game, Denver at Cleveland. Cleveland coming off of a bad loss. Denver coming off of a weird loss. That was a game I thought was a lock for them, with the Raiders being as shaken up as they are. Who you got?
I like Cleveland to bounce back. Jay, you said it like three or four podcasts ago. You spoke about the Cleveland Browns will go as far as Baker Mayfield takes them. And then to spice that up, because it needs a little spicing up, and you did a good job. You said, I don't think that Baker is even a top, what'd you say, top 15 quarterback?
Yeah, you got to put him on the outside of the 15.
So if that's the case, this is why we're getting the Cleveland Browns as they are now. And yes, I'm going to put this squarely on the quarterback's shoulders, because damn it, motherfucker, you make three times more money than anybody else on that team. So you get the fault, you get the blame. Pick your game up and go win something for the city of Cleveland. You've got the skill set around you. OBJ made his triumphant return. I know that you were without Nick Chubb. Kareem Hunt eventually went down, which is super sad because that was such a great running back tandem. But you also discovered, Peoples-Jones?
Mm-hmm.
So now you've got an even, you know, wider array of talent around you that you can throw the ball to. Baker, you
they got guys.
Get them the ball. You just got to get them the ball. I think Cleveland bounces back. I don't believe that Denver is what their record is, and I think that the Raiders exposed them. And that's my take on that game.
So you go Cleveland. And it took me a second to get the odds up, but right now, and I know it's early in the week, they're a 3-point favorite. So
I can deal with that.
I'm good with the three. Said it before, say it again. Baker is mid. His offensive line is really good. He's got two stud-ass running backs, great receivers, and a defense when they're playing well is good. He has to rely on all that for them to win. He is never going to be the focal point. He's never going to be Mahomes. He's never going to be MVP Dak. He's never going to be any of those guys. It is what it is. Yeah. First, he gets his first read, first progression, and that's it. Maybe a second after that, he scrambled. The moment he gets happy feet, he ends up laying up on the grass like he was yesterday with a prayer circle. Yeah, so Cleveland wins. Washington at Green Bay. Coming off of Rodgers hitting the I own you all of Chicago. Pretty fucking hardcore. Green Bay is a 9.5-point favorite. I said at the beginning of the year, I love Washington. Don't know if I love them as much as I did now then as I do now. Jess, who you got?
I've lost all faith in Washington. I think I don't know what's up with that. I don't know what's up with the team. I don't
That's
know
okay.
if start from a Rivera. You know, is it a Rivera issue?
Well, they lost a quarterback. They're running Heinicke.
I think, though, that Heinicke is a fair enough quarterback to win games with when you have some of the talent that you have around them. Scary Terry's an amazing – he's like a top five wide receiver. You got guys like – well, maybe not top five, but he's top
Yeah,
he's
that,
top
that, that was
he's
a hot take.
I had to go back on that. Sorry, guys. Sorry,
good,
Washington. Sorry, Washington football team. I spoke too soon. I was
Are you okay
to
with him at 10, maybe? 10 to 15?
I could put him at 10. I can put him anywhere from 8 to 15.
Yeah, 8's kind of high, too. But yeah, that's okay.
I like it.
You
like
love them. You're in. You're in.
But you got Antonio Gibson. You've got a couple of usable tight ends that can catch the ball pretty consistently. The offensive line works. It's not bad. And then that damn defense should be phenomenal after putting up top five defense numbers last season, just 1 year removed. And now you're like a mid defense. Mm-hmm. There's no excuse for that defense to be mid. None at all. I just don't like what Washington's doing. I'm not sure where they're at. Green Bay's coming off that huge win, another win against Chicago. And it may be too early to say, but Jay may have been right about Ohio State quarterbacks.
See, that's easy, though. That one's easy. That's an easy scab to pick off.
I hate to say it, though, because I feel like I've just thrown Chris under the bus twice now.
One more thing on this, and then we'll jump off of it. Jess, you are onto something there. This team has no direction, right? That's the problem. Is Green Bay has all the direction. They know what they're doing. They're behind their leaders, which is Rodgers and Adams and whoever else on defense. Washington has no leadership right now. They're lost. Yeah. Kansas City versus Tennessee. I think this is tough because I'd like to see what Tennessee does tonight against Buffalo before I say, well, shit, they beat Buffalo or they were in a fight with Buffalo. But they are facing Kansas City next week, and Kansas City is a 4.5-point favorite. Kansas City's been weird. We all know that, Jesse.
Yeah. For Buffalo, Tennessee?
No, I already know you did. Oh, no. Kansas City, Tennessee. Kansas City, Tennessee. Next week, yeah. Week seven, pal. Week seven. I know you got Buffalo tonight.
I'm still concentrating.
You got Buffalo by 100 tonight.
So, Kansas City. I disagree with Patrick Mahomes' family coming to his rescue every single time he has a bad game. But you know what? I hate to admit it, but part of it is kind of true. I mean, I don't think that any of us have ever seen Tyreek Hill drop so many passes. Maybe it's a little bit that the offensive line sucks and Mahomes is being rushed a little more than he should be. That defense is absolutely garbage and can't stop you or I. If you or I were the only ones on the field and they were opposing us, we would score touchdowns on them. I'm telling you that right now, Jay. We would score touchdowns. We would do that shit. It would be on like Donkey Kong. We'd score some fucking touchdowns. Kansas City's defense would look like ass.
It's easy for us to say because it's just they've just had Swiss cheese defense all year. Their defense is bad.
That's what they have to rely
on Mahomes, and when Mahomes is not above average, they're an incredibly beatable team.
Yeah, but like I said, that's what they don't pay us to say are the hard truths. So maybe when they start paying us, I'll be a little bit nicer. You know, I'm not on ESPN's block right now. So
you're not yet. Jess, so who you got? You going Kansas City over Tennessee?
I'm going Kansas City. Kansas City. I definitely like the 4 points or the 4.5. I would take that. Mahomes is gonna bounce back. That offense is gonna bounce back eventually, and they're gonna get back on track.
Yeah. Again, he's got to be above average for every.
All right. Here's
week
the part where we're gonna edit a bunch of stuff.
Go ahead.
See, autopilot, man. Autopilot.
There you go. That's good, though. No, it's okay. Because what happens is now you can continue to do a great podcast like we're doing right now. But here's
the
thing.
And we'll pick back up.
My son does that, but you just leave this. I don't even care. My son does that, but then headphones go in. Obnoxious YouTube video, way too loud. And then I'm in the front seat thinking, am I going to turn my radio up because I'm trying to listen to my shit and interrupt his loud earphone listening ass? This is the internal battle. Atlanta Falcons at the Miami Dolphins. This is an incredibly terrible game. Atlanta is a 2-point favorite. What you got?
I'm going with the upset, man. I think Miami's going to get it right against Atlanta.
If Miami turns it around, this is the Tua game where they figure it out. This is going to be a terrible game.
Tua did not play bad last week. Or this week, he did not play bad.
He just didn't have the ball in his hand in the last minute. That's it.
But
he did everything he needed to win that game.
And let's face it, like everybody knows, Matt Ryan is way past his point. So
Atlanta's bad, but at least now they're starting to incorporate that tight end.
They have no running game. Their defense is shabby. Their offensive line is decent. Matt Ryan's still getting looks, but he's not making those connects. He ain't got that young Julio Jones on the team no more, man. He just ain't the same.
And Ridley's now seeing the best defensive back on the opposing team every week. So he's not getting that second or third look. This is why CeeDee Lamb eats the way he does, by the way, because he's getting that second and third defensive back, and he's just eating the motherfuckers up.
Oh, yeah.
The Patriots are a 7-point favorite at home. These teams are bad. Who you got?
You know, I'm all Bills fans, if any Bills fan listens to this, they're going to hate me for saying this, but I actually have enjoyed this year's New England Patriots team. Ugh. I enjoy Mac Jones. I enjoy that duo of running backs they got back there. The wide receivers are like this, peppy little squad of nobodies. Hunter Henry, the double tight ends. They got the tight ends. We all seen Hunter Henry start getting involved last week. Even though they came up short against your Dallas Cowboys this week. They look good, though. They played against a contending team. And, yes, they made mistakes, but they're a young team. And, Dak is back 100%. Well, not so much right now, but he was. They played well.
That Patriots game against the Cowboys felt like a really, really good coach against a coach that's not as good. When you look at the stat sheet, you would think that Dallas rolled them, and the fact that it was that close. And again, the Cowboys made some dumb mistakes. There were some weird calls in there. It is what it is. We could talk about that later. But I kind of agree with you here. I think the Patriots are kind of fun to watch this year just because they don't have Brady. And I think we've been wanting to see Bill struggle a little bit. And there are some times you can see he's frustrated on the sidelines, which is nothing new, but they've struggled a little bit. I heard a Patriots fan on the radio today say that the Tampa Bay game got away from him and the Cowboys game got away from him. And I think you could make that argument if he had Tom Brady, those games don't get away from him. So who you got, Jess, by the way?
I got the Patriots.
I got Patriots by 7. I think they roll.
Jets are terrible. I absolutely dislike what they've done with that football team.
Another terrible game, the Panthers against the Giants. Who you got?
I don't know why the Panthers are so bad. I need somebody out there.
They don't have Christian McCaffrey playing.
Somebody explain to me why the Panthers are so damn bad. Yeah, I know did. Christian McCaffrey. They have players. Sam Darnold is having a career year. That defense just picked up Stephon Gilmore to add to the secondary that was already pretty good looking on paper. And yet they're still coming up short in these games. I don't understand what's going on. But in this game, definitely taking the Panthers.
When I watched that Cowboys game the other – whatever it was last week, what I noticed was they have to have Christian McCaffrey in because he truly dictates that entire offense because defenses have to focus on him solely. You got linebackers spying him. You got defensive backs spying him. You got everybody keeping an eye on him. This makes a little bit more wide open. This makes all the throws for the kid quarterback easier. Everything is run behind McCaffrey. That's why he gets so many touches to keep those defenses honest. With, you know, he'll end up with, 30 touches because he'll run the 18 times, catches, to fucking reverse in there. They just keep him active, and that's what makes them dangerous. When he's out, they're just a completely different team, and they're easier to score on because he's not out there eating up clock and keeping defenses on the field. With that said, I am going to go Panthers here, and I like the 3. The Giants are bad, so I'm going Panthers here. Ravens, Bengals, Jess, are the Bengals good? I still can't figure it out, and I want to say that they are. I'm not crowning them. I'm just saying, are the Bengals good?
I think they're good enough. I don't want to say that they're good. I want to say that they're good enough. Okay. They've shown improvement.
They're young, Jess.
They're young. That head coach over there has done a fantastic job. Almost identical in a way, rebuilding that Stefanski and those guys, the new GM over there in Cleveland, kind of help rebuild Cleveland. And now what we're seeing is the same thing happening in Cincinnati, which I think is fantastic because the cool thing to watch. Hold on one second. This is edited out to you.
Good.
I love you. All right, back to the show.
You should have said, son, don't forget you have to root for the Bills tonight. You don't have a choice. It's not an option. You said you don't have a choice. Your kids have no to choice for your fucking team.
You're a Bills fan. I don't know what to tell
That's
you.
That's it. Sorry, kid. You don't get a choice. This is the life. Life didn't choose you. All right. So I already lost where we were. Bengals, Ravens. Who you got?
Okay. So again, the way the Cincinnati's rebuilt that franchise from top to bottom, and I do honestly believe that it starts with Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow has proven to me enough that he is in fact a franchise quarterback.
He's got the goods, dude.
He's got the goods, the arm strength. He's got the reads. He's got the minimalist leg movement. He can run enough, but more than anything, he's shown me that his football IQ is pretty high for such a young kid. And now that he's got a year or so into the league, I know he's coming off that devastating injury from last year, his rookie season. But it just feels like he's grown so much in just like the last 6 months. It's amazing to watch him on the field. He looks like a 10-year vet. But with that being said, when there is a juggernaut happening in football, I don't go against the juggernaut. And that juggernaut right now is the Baltimore Ravens. They're not winning pretty. Lamar's not throwing for 300-400 yards, although he has.
Last week he had a bad game. Last week was his weird game. Was his hiccup but, game, but they still won, so who gives a shit?
And that's all that matters. Like I said, I'm not going to go against the juggernaut team, and that right now is the Baltimore Ravens. I think that Cincinnati's going to hang tight. I would like to see the spread. I'm guessing it's probably, you know, like in between 3 and 4 points.
No, 6.5.
That's too high.
You think so? You like the Ravens, but for this game,
it's too high. Yeah, for this game, it's too high. But I like the Ravens.
This is the sharps. Like you right now, all in on the Ravens. And shout out anyone who did the mathematical equation of drafting Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews. You are eating like a motherfucker in your league. I kind of agree with you. I kind of like that take. I like the Ravens to win, but I think the Bengals cover. Young team. I could see this again. Ravens have been in a lot of games, like 3-4 point games, last minute field goal type shits. 6.5 seems high. And I could see this as a shootout too, by the way. I could see this ending like 34-31 or something like that. I think this gets messy. Eagles at the Las Vegas Raiders. Let's plant our flag here, Jess. This is going to be the last flag we're planting tonight in regards to longer takes. Heads up. Give me the heads up here. Gruden, where do we start? I'll give you the floor. Where do we start?
Damn. All I'm going to say about the John Gruden stuff is this. I think that this just goes to proof when rich old white people rule a certain organization or entity. Mm-hmm. This is really what happens behind closed doors.
It's a frat house, clubhouse, locker room mentality.
It's the big bro, you know who you know type league. Oh,
it ain't what you know, it's who you know.
It ain't what you know, it's who you know. And, you know, there's been reports, you know, it's weird. You know, there's a lot of guys who come out, players, black, white, Asian, whatever. They come out and said, hey, you know what?
The one Asian guy?
I respect that. That was the Atlanta Falcons kicker.
Yeah, the son who chew. He's like, let me get my 2 cents in here, guys.
He came out and said, hey, let me just tell you about this John Gruden guy. No, but they've all said, these guys have come out and said, you know, like, look, man, I like John Gruden. I respect John Gruden. Whatever he said or whatever, I've not had to deal with that. I don't know what to say. I hope it's not true type of speech. But they've shown respect for John. On the flip side, you got some really important players coming out saying, hey, but John Gruden's been a dick his whole entire career.
Yes.
And this is where it gets tricky. With that being said, I don't want to get too much into it because I don't want to do the whole politicking thing. But
yeah, you don't have to.
But here's my main concern is this. I don't believe that this type of speech and talk should be allowed anywhere. And I get it. This was through private emails. But when you are the head coach or the GM or whatever the fuck you are of a franchise, your rights to saying whatever the fuck you want are gone. Mm-hmm. They're gone. Mm-hmm. If your franchise, if your GM says, hey, you know what, from now on, your favorite color is blue. You say, yes, sir, my favorite color is blue.
I don't want to deal with the absolutes like that, Jess, where you say you have to be smart enough to know that if you put something on the internet, whether it's an email, whether it's even in a text where people can screenshot these things these days. The moment that you put a message out there, it can be absorbed. People can take it, and it is what it is. You have to be – and again, I don't want this to sound like I'm justifying what's being said because I'm not justifying what's being said, and clearly neither is Jesse, right? This is kind of – it feels like we're juggling again with the Simone Biles thing, right? Where what is okay, you know, old school versus new school mentality. The old man get off my lawn. Here's me and Jesse sounding like some 40-year-olds. No, it isn't about that. But here's what it is about. And to piggyback off of what Jesse's saying, when you get a job in one of the highest places and there are only 30 of these jobs going around or whatever, or in John Gruden's case, he was working at ESPN. There's only 3 of these jobs, right, working in the booth. There's only 3 of these motherfuckers at ESPN. You have to be smart enough to know if I send this email, whether personal or not, there's a chance someone else can read it. Now, is what he said being projected in the locker room day and night when there are microphones turned off and cameras not around? Hell yes, it is. And the athletes that I've heard that are retired have said so. Hey, you know what, man? I'm not saying what John said was right, but what I am saying is you hear that shit all day in a locker room, anytime, at any place, and you hear worse shit, and you kind of just adjust to it because that's just the locker room mentality. Again, doesn't make it right. It's just it is what it is. And just think about it like this, and I was talking to my buddy about this. There are two places left where male individuals feel they can go and say whatever the fuck they want. They're a locker room and a barber shop. And that's it. And again, I'm not saying that the comments that they are saying are right or I'm endorsing them. I'm just saying this is it. These are the last two places that guys go and feel like they can say off-color jokes. You know, I don't want to say prejudice remarks, but off-color racist type, you know, soft topics. Jess, I've told you this before, and we just shouted out Che Rollins, our boy, our birthday boy. If you're Latin, Mexican, Latino, whatever you want to call it, you were raised to make fun of your color. You were raised, it's okay to laugh at the downfall of things that happen to Hispanic people. Not laugh at them, but laugh with them or laugh, you know, it's the laugh, you know, cry now, laugh later type scenarios. So I think it's difficult. And now maybe my wheels are really spinning on this bang and this cannabis drink I'm drinking. It's difficult to bring the reins in on individuals like Gruden who have spent their entire life in a locker room mentality. And that locker room mentality is shared with the boys, is shared with this billionaire boys club, if you will, with these 30 owners who don't want these emails getting out. Trust me, because they know, man, imagine if you get into this guy's emails or imagine if you get into this guy's emails and the shit that's being out there, the shit that could be out there. There are guys that are shaking in their boots. And that's why it's funny when you hear Carr the other day say, hey, man, I'm a man of God. You can pull these emails out. I got nothing to hide. Check my emails. You're going to find nothing but a Spanish rice recipe up in that shit. Can you say the same for other people here? I don't know. So shout out to him for having that, you know, having that conviction. And hey, man, I made those mistakes, so I'm good with it. Should it have cost Gruden his job? Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
It is what it is. This is this, and it even about this is the society we live in, because I'm not going to say that, even though some would. It's this is just, again, there are so many of these jobs that go around, and if you get caught with your hand in the cookie jar, especially that cookie jar, there's no repairing it. There's no fixing it. There's no, I'm going to go to sensitivity training or any of that shit. It's just, you got to go. and he had to go. You know what I'm saying? He had to go, Jess.
Well, and you have to imagine, too, a guy like Gruden, who is now, you know, far into his 40s or 50s.
Nah, he's got closer to 60.
Is he that far? Man, fucking
yeah, right. He's coaching the Raiders in 2000, and he was in his late 30s then.
There we go. So say he's in his 60s. This guy has been around athletes and coaching athletes for like decades and decades.
Locker room mentality.
So here's the big thing is this. You can make an employee go to sensitivity training, but it doesn't mean that they're going to want to learn when they're there or even think that they need to be there.
And that's not going to necessarily change them either.
Exactly. So in that certain case, if that's how you want to kind of like look at, you know, this situation, like, oh, well, what if he just did X, Y, or Z to make the situation better? The situation could possibly get better, but he will not. He will still have the same mentality and attitude towards, you know, whatever his feelings are, regardless. And that shouldn't be tolerated either, because, you know, eventually it's going to happen again down the road. John Gruden is not the type of – he's not a sensitive guy. He doesn't care. He wants wins. He wants championships. He wants money. And lately, it's, you know, he's getting paid. So, and I guarantee that buyout's going to be hella good. He's never going to work again.
The Davis family loved John Gruden. And that's what makes it incredibly unique, because this is an Al Davis guy. You know, this isn't necessarily a – and, I mean, I know that his son is the one that hired him, but you got to remember, I promise you – at some point, you know, 10, 15, 20 years before his dad passed, he made it a point to let his son know, I love this guy. And if there is a point, you know, if we do cross paths again, we should probably bring him back because you never know.
Yeah.
And he was able to do that. That's probably why he paid him so goddamn much money, because he knew, hey, man, this is what my dad wants. Whatever it takes, I'm going to do it, to, you know, just to be able to have that peace of mind. Dad, look, Dad, I made it work. So incredibly difficult, but in my opinion, the right thing was done. When he did get fired, I told all my Raiders friends and my dad, who I've told you before, a lifelong Raiders fan. I've said this on the show 100 times. 2 Raider tattoos, because one wasn't enough for him. He had to get 2. This is now about the leaders in the locker room. This is now Carr's chance to truly show, look, man, I've been here probably the longest of anyone in this locker room. I am the leader, and this is my opportunity to really, truly take the reins of this franchise. Whether he does so is another story. That is to be seen. But 1 week in, it worked. You know, 1 week in, when, and I'll tell you what, just when I turned in my pick sheet last week, I picked against Las Vegas, and I'm sure a lot of people did. Just assuming, one, Denver, you know, Denver isn't great, but they should be able to beat Vegas just because they got so much shit going on internally. And locker room leader Carr made it happen. Made it fucking happen. So credit to him. You know, I'm always going to support my Fresno State boys.
Which is another thing to say. I'm just going to pat myself on the back, but I've been saying it for a long time. I like Derek Carr. I think that he's a phenomenal quarterback. And what makes him a good quarterback is his leadership skills. He's been a leader since day one. He's you know, and he's taken things on his shoulders. He's obviously taking this upon himself to, like, try to clear air just as far as the organization is concerned. And, you know, again, he, you know, he wasn't, like, throwing hate on Gruden. He said that he respected the guy. He just didn't respect that type of language. And, you know, that's, you know, again, a man of God, a religious guy, a spiritual guy, you know, he's going to kind of lean that direction, obviously, but I think that the rest of the world should lean that way too. So you gotta start cleaning house somewhere.
I will
go to say this, as far as politicking is concerned, if this goes to start clearing some leeway in the NFL towards minority owners, minority coaching, and players being better treated by white coaches and white GMs, then by all means, I hope that that's what it does.
Hey, what is the name of that, of the OC for Kansas City who wasn't getting jobs last year when everybody thought he might get a job?
Eric Bieniemy.
Isn't Eric Bieniemy the perfect fucking fit? And I know it sounds a little bit prejudiced, but you would think they'd want an African-American coach right now, not because of the things that were said, but just because I think it would work well for this team. But also, you're hurting your in-division rival by taking away the guy that Patrick Mahomes has ran plays through the last 3 yeah. years of his career. It's a win-win. I think you, at the very least, got to fucking get the guy in there. But I could be wrong. Jess, let's bring it back around here, unless you got more thoughts on it. Who you got? You got Philly? You got Las Vegas? It's in Las Vegas.
I got Vegas, especially the fact that it's at home. I think they're going to ride this
first home game. That place is going to fucking explode.
I think that they're going to ride the wave of emotion through last week's Denver or this week's Denver game and all the Gruden stuff. This has been truly remarkable. Most teams would allow this type of thing to kind of eke in to their play on the field. And the Vegas Raiders did not allow that to happen. And on the other hand, I think the Philadelphia Eagles are garbage. So yeah. there's that aspect of things.
The NFC East is so bad right now. And as a Cowboys fan, it can't get any better to know that Philly is terrible. Washington is now terrible. And the Giants are terrible. As we predicted on our preview show, we knew that Philly had a chance to be really bad. And we knew that New York would had a chance to be very bad. And here we are. The next 3 games, I want to try and fly by, Jess. But let's, I also want to have some fun with them. These are double-digit spreads. Try and guess them. The first one, Detroit at L.A. This is a double-digit spread. What do you think it is?
11.
15.
Holy
Detroit is a
15,
shit. 15 and a half on some books, including BetMGM. Rams, of course, win. Do they cover?
Oh, yeah.
15 is a lot.
I'm not going to say they cover. I wouldn't be surprised. I said this against the Buffalo cover.
And boy, were you wrong. And they won by 30.
Against Houston, and I was. I was very wrong.
30. That
I definitely can. LA or the Rams are really explosive, but there's games where Stafford looks like Detroit Stafford. I mean, let's be honest. Not every
game. He had a bad game the week before last.
So, but I don't expect it. This is a mismatch on every level. So I would second guess myself saying it's not going to be double digits. But I'm just going to say beating a team, if your spread is double digits, beating that team by that spread is difficult to do in the NFL. Just every play counts. But I take the Rams. I got the Rams.
Rams win. Rams cover. I think the three MVPs right now are Dak, are Stafford, and are your boy Justin Herbert. I think those are the three. The thing is, Herbert's had a bad game, and Stafford had a bad game.
If my boy Josh shows up tonight, he's back in that mix.
I'm trying to get you to that game. Houston Texans at the Arizona Cardinals. Double-digit spread, Jess. What is it?
You know what? This would be the game that I would take the double-digit spread.
What is it? What is it?
I'm gonna guess 13.
17, Jess.
Holy fuck. I'm not taking 17 points. I take that back.
The Texans lost by 4. They 35 to your Bills.
Fuck you, sportsbook. You're trying to trick me.
When they don't show up, they don't show up, Jess. When they don't show up, they don't show up. I told Jess right before we started recording this show, this is a bad games week. Arizona wins. Arizona covers. How about that? I like the 17.
I like 17, but I definitely like
spreading both of these bad boys.
I love it. We talk about chaos in sports. Well, there's some chaos. Right. I love the Arizona Cardinals. One of my closest, dearest friends is an Arizona Cardinals fan. He's fairly new to football, but he loves Arizona, so he kind of adopted the Cardinals and back before the Kyler Murray days. And now he's starting to get to enjoy some of the fruits of his fandom. And I love watching the Arizona Cardinals play football. When I watch the Arizona Cardinals play football, it reminds me of when you got your buddies in the backyard and you're just throwing the ball around and you're doing some fucking Statue of Liberty plays and you just got weird shit going on. They are the NFL's version of the Tasmanian Devil, and I love it.
Fuck Kyler Murray for rubbing it in every Oakland A's fan. Face by wearing a blue LA Dodgers Oakland A's hat. Like we wasted a first round pick on you, pal. You can really go fuck yourself with that hat. Arizona wins, Arizona covers. I think I said that. Last, I believe, double digit spread, and I don't know what the fuck I just did to my computer. I fucked something up. Chicago at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is a double digit spread, Jess. Who you got? Oh, Fred, give me the points too. What do you think it is?
I've done 11. I've done 13. I don't know. I'm gonna stick with my original 11. I honestly think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are not.
You're not. This is not bad. This is not bad. So 13 and a half. So yeah. Just under two touchdowns. I can see it. Any chance Chicago wins? No.
No.
You like the 13? Do you like the 13 and a half?
I kind of do like the 13.
Got your bitch. Sorry, Chris. I don't.
Man, this that's the third time.
This is where I'm going to zag.
Chris is going to hate me after today's show. Chris, I love you. Please don't hate me.
I'm zagging here. I think Tampa Bay wins. I think Chicago covers. I think this is a little bit closer than the 13 and a half.
Justin Fields better show something then because.
The Colts at the Niners. The Niners are at home. This is the Sunday night game. I still believe they're starting Lance. I could be wrong. Indianapolis is kind of turning it around as well. Who you got?
Nah, I think Indianapolis just had a good game. I don't know what happened to MVP or potential MVP Carson Wentz. I don't know what happened, but he just doesn't have. There's something. It's just not there anymore. Like that aura. Giddy up. That aura of, you know, invulnerability or whatever that he had before in his older Philly days, like they're just gone, man. Like he takes a lot of sacks, he takes a lot of hits, he gets knocked down a bunch. He's rushed into his reads. The good thing that Indianapolis has for them is they got their old workhorse back, T.Y. Hilton, put in 4 catches, 80 yards, which is pretty impressive for his first game back in forever. And Jonathan Taylor, possibly a top 3 running back in the NFL right now, put up like 158 yards. Just absolute beast. That being said, I like where San Francisco's at. I think they're on a good little upward trend, and I'm going to take the Niners.
Yeah, Colts on the road. This is a weird game. I do like San Francisco. Night game, so the wind might be a factor. So this might be a big run game. So I don't know if that favors Indy or the Colts, Indy or San Francisco. So now I'm really thinking about it here. But I'm going to go Niners, and I believe they win and cover the 3.5. I think they win by a touchdown. Last game, Saints, Seahawks. Seahawks are fucking terrible. And I didn't even have to watch that Steelers game to know that without Russ, they're a bad team with a bad defense. The Saints are a 4.5-point favorite, and I see 5.5 on one book. Saints are on the road. Who you got?
I definitely don't like the Saints on the road. I think that Geno Smith played a, you know, very good game-managing game. Mm-hmm.
That's what he does.
I think that they had opportunities to win, but, you know, The X factor, of course, is Russell Wilson. And I think that if you want to take this Russell Wilson thing one step further, this just goes to show that he is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. Because he has been carrying an obviously horrible football team probably for the last 3 years. And they're winning and going to the playoffs. And he's putting up phenomenal numbers. And now that he's hurt for the first time, I believe, in his career, that he's missed a game, now we're seeing – where that team truly is without Russell Wilson, but in this case, I just think that the Saints are lost. Their offense is gone. Alvin Kamara is having probably statistically one of his worst career years. The passing game, I went in deep, man, with Jameis, famous Jameis, and I was wrong.
Yeah.
Famous Jameis stinks, even with eye surgery. I don't care. I don't know what he's seeing out there. He's seeing ghosts like Sam Darnold was or something. I don't know.
He's seeing defensive backs. He's putting the ball right in their hands.
Yeah, he's seeing defensive backs and throwing it right to him. With that being said, I think Seattle should win. What's the cover?
4.5. Seattle is a 4.5. I told you, 5.5 on one book. So FanDuel loves the Saints on the road. Ooh, Jess, I lose you? Jess, I lose you? Oh, no. Let me know when you can hear me. Can you hear me? Yep. Yep. Thank you.